I was thinking about this. David one day was sitting in a place of discouragement. He was not yet the king. He had been running from Saul. The crown was not on his head, but it was in very close proximity. He was so close to that prophecy being fulfilled, but yet in his mind he was so far away. Now we all admire David when he's writing his psalms, huh? We admire him killing the lion and the bear. We admire him killing the giant, and we think of all those good things. But David went through some rough times. Can I hear an amen? Amen. He went through some low points in his life. In fact, in the book of Psalms, you will read where he'll talk about, you know, hope. My hope is in God. I am at a low point, but my hope is in God. I'm not where I should be, but my hope is in God. And he constantly was referring to his help being from God. But this day, we hear something from David that we thought we would never hear. And it's found in 1 Samuel chapter 1. I want you to listen closely. Follow along in your Bible as we talk about the fall, the fight, and the future. David said in his heart, I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape to the land of the Philistines. And Saul will despair of searching for me to seek me anymore in any part of Israel. So I shall escape out of his hand. Now here's the words that I want you to listen to very carefully. Let this sink into your heart. David said with his mouth, he believed in his heart, now I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul. Just one short sentence, but it speaks of the long seasons of fear that we walk through. We walk through seasons of fear. We're not alone. But in those 9 simple little words, David tells us about how honest he is being and how human he really is. Excuse me. I was thinking when I pulled my handkerchief out a while ago, do you know nobody carries handkerchiefs anymore except old people?
True.
I do. Huh?
I do.
If you carry a handkerchief, hold your... Pause this. Pause my sermon just a moment. I'm on a pig trail. How many of you men carry a hanky? How many do not carry a hanky? Look at this. That's what I thought. You know why? Because we have Kleenexes here and toilet paper here and napkins here. But us old people, we still use the old-fashioned handkerchief. Now, Gary told me one day that he was in Korea. And in Korea, they don't use handkerchiefs. They don't even blow their nose. They do the old-fashioned way. Don't ask me to demonstrate. And then they do that, and then they wipe their hand. And Gary said, that is so nasty. He said, well, you Americans put it in a piece of cloth, and you fill the cloth up, and then you put it in your pocket. Where'd that come from? It comes from a 75-year-old man that's almost 76 and loves his life and loves his church. All right, let's go on. So, listen, sometimes we all face pressure because we're all human, aren't we? We're all human. We're going to face pressure. David is in a position where he's tired of running. He's been running from Saul for about 7 or 8 years, and he senses that God is far away. I will perish. We've said the same thing. I'm finished, right? I'll never make it. There's no way out. I'll never get out of this. Now listen, David had already been anointed king. Are you with me? He is he celebrated this great victory over Goliath. He celebrated his victory over the lion and the bear. He was celebrated even by King Saul as he invited him into his court to play music and sing. And you knew the heaviness that was upon Saul would lift and leave as David sang and played. But now he's hunted by Saul. He's been running from Saul. He's tired. He feels betrayed. He feels desperate. And in the pressure of that moment, he says, "Now I will perish someday at the hand of Saul." In other words, I've been running from Saul, and even though God said 15 years ago or whatever that I will be king, it looks like it's not going to come to pass, and it looks like Saul is going to have his way with me. Can I take you on a journey this morning? I want us to be able to see how that fear will distort our thinking. Weariness. Being tired, just being tired, how it just causes us to forget what God said last week in the sermon, or 2 months ago in that word of prophecy, or maybe 3 years ago when somebody laid hands on you and said, "This is what the Lord says." Can I hear a good amen now? Amen. Listen to this. I think I may have written this down. Fear, here's how fear distorts. Fear drives us to make poor choices. I hope we got that down. If we don't, then you can write this down, because you need to write these things down or at least take a picture of it. Fear drives us to make poor choices. Fear leads us to accept bad deals. In fear, we settle for less than what we deserve. If you can't write that fast, turn your recorder on. Turn your recorder on. I'll go back and read number one. Tell me when. Ready? Got your recorder on? Here's how fear distorts. Fear drives us to make poor choices. Fear leads us to accept bad deals. In fear, we settle for a whole lot less than what we deserve or what was promised. Fear tempts us into harmful compromises. Out of fear, we agree to the unacceptable. When we act from fear, we make unwise decisions. Now, I know you didn't get to write all those down. I'll send you my notes if you need it later on. So David begins to think foolishly in his heart. He's been anointed. He's been told, "You're the next king. How can Saul kill him if he's going to be the next king unless he gives up? Unless he loses heart. Unless he loses faith." And so what David does in his foolishness, he decides, "I'm going to just get out of Israel and I'm going to move into the land of the Philistines." How many knows that's not a smart move? That political choice that he made almost cost him his career. But he made a decision. "I will go." How many knows they were the arch enemies of God? I'm telling you, fear will make you do dumb and stupid things. That's why we teach and preach, give no place to fear. And so we find that David is hiding to save his skin. Huh? David thinks his heart is, well, his heart is evil, and I'll tell you why. I'll say this in a minute. But how many knows the Bible says the heart is deceitfully wicked. I don't care if you're born again or not. The heart, the flesh, the human, the psyche, the soulish realm. If you don't renew it with the word, it's always going to go back. Are you hearing me? And so David must have forgotten what the prophet of God said to him when he was a young boy of 12 to 15 years old. So he makes this bad choice. Sometimes we will compromise our calling for comfort because of fear. We compromise our calling for comfort. And sometimes we trust in human power over God's provision. Did you see that? We trust human power over God's provision. How do you know? David ran to the man. You know who he ran to? He ran to the king of the Philistines. He went to the king of the Philistines and he said, "Hey, buddy, I'm on your side now. I will fight in your army and we will go out and we will kill people." And so David did. He got into that army and he and his 600 men began to fight in agreement with the Philistines because he said in his heart, "I will one day perish at the hand of Saul. I will not be king. I will not serve Israel. I will not be a part. So I'm going to go to serve the Philistines." How many of us have made those same idiotic remarks and followed through with those remarks? Doesn't matter what God said. I feel like I need to do this. Listen, don't ever be led by your heart. Be led by your spirit. I hope you understand the difference. Don't be led by your heart. Be led by your spirit. Your spirit will not deceive you. This mind will mess you up. Amen? Amen. So, here's a question. You that have been facing fear, you that are in the middle of fear right now, how many times do we cut corners? We lie. We make alliances that betray God's purposes. And I want to warn you today that fear's bargain always creates new prisons. Did I write that down? If I didn't, I should have. Fear's bargains often create new prisons. We will make decisions in fear that we would never even dream about making when we're full of faith. Alex said a moment ago, he talked about those preachers, you know, that huff and puff and say, at the end of every sentence. And he talked about how that you're on the front row and you get that, and that's, you know, you're yeah, but a week later or on the way home you lose it. I'm going to tell you something. Some of those preachers do the same thing. Some of those fieriest preachers that say, at the end of every sentence, sometimes they have the biggest problems. I won't go into that because that's not part of my message this morning. But I want to just encourage you, if fear is asking you to cut corners, if fear is asking you to make alliances that betray God's purposes for your life, run from it. Run from it. Get this thing renewed by the Word of God. Unbelief isn't just doubt. It is an offense against God's nature. I want to say it again. You said it for me. Unbelief isn't just doubt. It is an offense against God's nature. David forgot. He forgot about all the promises. He forgot about all the good things. He forgot about the kindness of God and the goodness of God and the love of God. He forgot those things. We do the same thing. When we go through something, we forget about the goodness of God. We forget about the kindness of God. We forget about the love of God. Listen, there's never been a day in your life when God has forgotten you. Never been a trial that you went through where God denied you. Can I hear an amen?
Amen?
Now listen, to deny the goodness and the faithfulness of God grieves him. I believe David grieved the heart of God the day he said, "Now I will perish at the hand of Saul." Unbelief is the first cousin to atheism. Might want to write that down. You see, atheism denies God's existence. But unbelief doubts God's goodness. We deny the goodness of God when we're in unbelief. How many knows that goodness and love are some of the essential parts of the nature of God? That is God's very nature, goodness and love. And I think if you read your Bible, you'll find out God has some pretty harsh things to say to those that don't believe his word, that don't trust him. The Bible does not lie. God does not lie. If God said to a 12-year-old boy or a 15-year-old boy, and the oil was poured upon him, that you're going to be the next king, I don't care if it was 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, or 30 years, he was going to be the next king because God cannot lie. Look at Titus. I gave you the scripture right up here. Look at the book of Titus, chapter 1 and verse 2. It says, God has promised eternal life. He does not lie. Say it with me. He does not lie. Say it again. If God tells you something, listen, you got to realize God is not going to perjure himself. He cannot lie. I mean, if he wanted to, he couldn't, but he don't want to. He cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. Now, here's where we get into reasoning and into the soulish realm when we'll say, well, maybe God didn't say that. Maybe God didn't really mean that. Did God say that 5 years ago? Did God call me to Farmington 50 years ago? There was no way possible. There was no way. I couldn't afford to move to Farmington and start a church. There's no way I could come all the way from Hillsboro or Festus and come down here and bring my family with nobody around and start a, come on, church. Did God say that? Now I look back. And I think the goodness of God.
Amen.
Oh, look at the goodness of God. He does not fail. If he said it, it doesn't matter what it looks like in 5 years.
Amen.
You just remain steadfast. Amen?
Amen?
We've got to understand that God is not going to be charged with perjury. Amen?
Amen.
What happens is, when we get in fear, doubt, or even unbelief, we will say that his word is unreliable. It's unworthy of our trust. And I'll tell you something right now. Doubt and unbelief are the parents of many, many sins. Amen. You know why I'm preaching this? Because I love you. And I'm tired of seeing us be so afraid that we can't step out and do something for God. We need some more Charlie Kirks. We need some more people. Do you realize that his last interview, just before he was shot, was with a man that was not a believer? Sat on a couch and talked to a man that was not, just minutes before his began his last thing at that college. And he was an unbeliever. But you know what? The man said, this guy has the words of wisdom. This man, he got his attention. I wouldn't be surprised today, Gary, if that guy wasn't serving God today because of that last interview. David said in his heart, I will now perish. I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. I want to pray today that every one of us will run from those kind of thoughts that will keep you from receiving what God has promised you. You know what? I don't care if it was 10 years ago or 15 years ago. If God promised it, it will come to pass. The only way it won't come to pass is if you decide to get out of the... If David would have stayed in the Philistine land, he wouldn't have become the king. You can disobey God and not get the fulfilled promises. Everything God promises is conditional to your obedience. Woo, Daryl Rhodes, you're doing some good preaching this morning. I think I'll shout. David said, by the hand of Saul. Now listen, there was no evidence, there was absolutely no evidence at all that pointed, there was no indicators that indicated that he was going to die at the hand of Saul. Yes, he threw javelins at him. Yes, he tried to kill him. Yes, he had all of his, Saul had his entire army coming against David. But there was nothing that pointed in the direction that Saul was going to kill him, even though he was after him. Listen, some of you, I've heard you say, oh, the devil's been after me all week long. I just don't know what I'm going to do. Well, I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to turn around, stand up, and use the word of God and rebuke him and stop running.
Amen. Yeah.
If we don't stop running from what the Word of God, you say, well, I've never had a word from God. Well, open your Bible. Isn't that a novel idea? Open your Bible and you can get a word from God. The Lord never deserted David, not one time. And I want you to listen to me this morning. Never on any occasion has the Lord ever neglected or deserted one of us. And if you blamed him for deserting you or neglecting you, we better fall on our knees and repent, because we're saying, God, you are not trustworthy. God, your word is not believable. Amen? You know, David couldn't open up his diary and put his finger on one day where he said, God has deserted me. He couldn't say it. He couldn't find it, because he knew the faithfulness of God. But in this moment of fear, in this moment of intimidation, in this moment of shallow thinking, he begins to think, I'm going to die. It doesn't matter what God said 15 years ago. Now, let me just give you a little history here. One day, Samuel the prophet came to the house of Jesse, and he said, I've come, I'm looking for somebody. I'm looking for somebody to anoint to be the next king. Well, how many knows Jesse, like any father, brought the best looking, the tallest? I mean, these guys were very political looking. They were very strong. They were over 20 years old. We know that because they were in Saul's army. And so he brings one, and Samuel says, no, that's not the one. He brings another one. Surely it's this one. He's the oldest one. No, it's not him. Surely it's this one. He's got the curly hair and the dark tan, and he's muscle. He's rippled. Ripped. I thought maybe that's a better word. I'm rippled. And so David, and he goes through all of his sons. And then he said, is there anybody else? He said, oh, yeah, but he don't count. Listen, I want to tell you something. It's the ones that don't count that God wants to use. Do you hear me? Not the wise. Isn't that what it says in Corinthians? God don't choose the wise and I don't know what the other words are right now, but he said he chooses though the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And so, but he don't count. He's out there. He smells like sheep. He looks like sheep. He's been playing with the sheep. He's a kid. He don't count. You know what Samuel said? Go get him. Go get him. Bring him here. I bet he didn't get within two or three steps of Samuel, and Samuel said, that's the one. That's the one. This is the one. He was somewhere between 12 and 15 years old. He said, that's the one I'm going to anoint to be the next king of Israel. Now listen, Samuel was the most beloved prophet in the whole nation of Israel. They adored, they practically worshiped everything he said, because he was the voice of God. They didn't have 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles, 1st, 2nd Samuel. They didn't have the books to turn to. All they had was the word of the prophet, which was actually the word of God. But listen, here's what I wrote. If you can't believe the man of God, the prophet of God, or someone that God's ordained to watch over you, your pastor or a prophet or a leader, who can you believe? If you can't trust the word of God and what the Bible says, who in the name of whatever, who can you believe? You're going to be the next king. When Saul's no longer in power, you will be the next king. So, if that was a true prophecy, Alex, if that was a true word of God, how many knows there's nothing Saul could do to kill David? Nothing. Yet David says, I shall one day perish. How could he? That's the exact opposite of what God said. Are y'all getting anything out of this morning? Man, I know I'm not doing the at the end of every script verse or every word, but this is good. This will make you go, huh? If that prophecy was true, was Saul going to be able to kill David? Why are you thinking contrary to the prophecies that God's given over your life. Listen, Darlene and I have had some powerful prophecies. We've got them written down. We've got them recorded on cassette tape. Problem is, we don't have a cassette player. You know, we've got them recorded. And we go back every once in a while and we will read those prophecies, because even though they may have been years ago, Bob Smith prophesied over you quite a few times. You've had a few words of prophecy. And you know what? Bob's dead and gone, and Josh is still here, and he may be still waiting. But listen, don't give up. Don't fear. Don't wonder if Bob missed it. That's what we say. Well, you know, Samuel missed it. The pastor missed it. Come on, church. If God said it, it's forever settled in heaven. Everybody say this with me. God is going to do what he said he's going to do. You know what? I don't care if you're sitting here this month. You can be here this morning. You can be as drunk as a skunk. You can be as high as you can possibly get. You know what? How many of us, God can sober you up? If God told you he's going to do something, you get ready. He's going to do it. Amen. Our biggest problem is we put timelines on things. Huh? Well, if God said it, it better come to pass within 24 hours. You better read the Bible, honey. It don't happen that way, right? Let's go to Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49, verse 14. Zion, the church, the nation, the believers said, "The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me." Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on this child she has born? Though she may forget, I will never forget you. I will never forget. Somebody needs to mark that in your Bible. In John chapter 10, Jesus is speaking, and he said, listen, nobody will ever be able to pluck you out of my hand. That's a word. That's a word for you today. Nobody can make you turn your back on God or make you deny God. Nobody can pluck you out of his hand. Amen. Saul, you can't pluck yourself out of the will of God. The will of God is that you come back and be the king. And I was reading the next few chapters, and I got so excited how that, you know, after the Philistines went to war with Israel, the Philistine men said to their king, we don't want David and his men fighting, because who knows, he may turn around and come against us and fight with Israel. And so the king asked David to go back to Ziklag and go back home. And I think David began to feel something begin welling up inside of him. And I just want to let you know this morning, the word that God gave you years ago, nobody can take you out of the promises of God, out of the hand of God. Amen. I don't care how low you are today, God wants to lift you up. Amen. I don't care how many trials you had last Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. God wants to pick you up this morning. He wants to encourage you. Teresa, I know that you went through some horrendous things in the last few weeks. You know, we never think we're going to bury our children. But you know what? God's had his hand upon her, and she's coming through it, and she's going to, on this other side here, she's just going to get stronger and stronger and stronger, and she's going to be encouragement to other mothers that might lose their children. Amen. Say amen, Teresa. God wants to lift us up. God wants to walk on the high places. Habakkuk says, though the fig tree don't bloom, and though there's no cattle in the stall, God says, that's okay. Habakkuk, the prophet, said, I will still rejoice in the Lord, and the Lord's going to cause me to rise up and fly on the high places, fly in the high places. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants to lift you up. He wants you to rejoice in the season of lack, in the season of no crops. God wants you to rejoice, though the barns be empty, though the account be at the lowest. God says, yet the Habakkuk said, I will still rejoice. I declare unto you this morning that God's going to cause you to rise on the high places. Amen. Psalms 27:3. Though an army may encamp against me. This is David. Listen to this. Though an army. David's in a little bitter state of mind now. Psalms 27:3. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. That's the David we love. That's the David we like to read about. Psalms 18. I will love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. You're my shield. You're the horn of my salvation. You're my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. Now look at this last line. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Amen. Wait a minute, Saul. Wait just a minute here. David. What about Saul? So shall I be saved from my enemies. Do you think he meant all my enemies except one? 100%. I will save you from all your enemies. So I want to speak to you this morning. I want to speak over you. I want to speak the life of God over you. If you're listening, whether you're listening online or you're listening here this morning or you're listening later on, I want to tell you something. There may be somebody suing you. Somebody may be tormenting you. Your business may be going downhill. You may be falling apart at the seams, but I want you to know God will save you from all your enemies. God spoke to Darlene and I one time, and this was several years ago, but God spoke to us, and we've held on to this word. He said, never again will you have to go to court for anything. Woo, I love that word. And you know what? There was a few times that we thought we might have to go, but guess what? God said, never again. Never again. Never again. Some of you may be being sued, or somebody's after you or trying to defame your character or run you down. Listen, I declare that the God of victory is your God, and God will save you from all your enemies. Amen. I said all your enemies. Amen. I mean, there's times we can talk faith. Come on, man. We have a worship service like we had this morning. We can talk the faith. We can put on our big britches faith, you know, and we can talk about big faith. But listen, when the times get tough, or we don't see the light like we saw it, or we don't hear the word like we used to, and there comes a time when our humanity breaks through a little. Listen, I want you to know that that's not your spirit man. That's not your spirit man. That's your soulish realm. The Bible says the heart. Look at Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above what? All things. And what else? Desperately wicked. Who can know? So we don't even know our own hearts sometimes. That's why I say don't follow your heart. So I've heard people say this all my life. Just follow your heart. Just follow your heart. Just follow your heart. That deceitful, wicked thing, follow that thing. I got a better phrase. Follow the Spirit. Follow the Spirit. The Bible says they that are the sons of God will be led not by their heart, but by the Spirit of God. Come on, church. Somebody shout amen. Too many times. Well, I'm just going to follow my heart. Well, listen, your heart is wicked. I didn't say that. The Bible says that. How many knows your soulish realm can fool you sometimes? Amen? It might say yes in the morning, but in the evening it'll say no. You ever done that before? You got up and say, okay, I know, God, this is what you want me to do. I'm going to do it. And then in the evening you get thinking, well, you know what, that was probably just my flesh. That really wasn't God. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Listen to this statement. The word of God is what convinces us, not our own heart. The word of God must convince us, not our own heart. Be careful how you listen to your heart. Amen. Yes, I'm born again. Yes, I'm spirit-filled. Yes, my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Yes, when you puncture me, I will die, and I will be in the presence of God. But the heart is still deceitfully wicked, desperately wicked. Amen. Okay, let me drop down here. I've just got another page or two. Are you about ready to go home? Man, it's awful quiet in this church. How many want to go home, but you're afraid to say yes? Okay. Saul was getting very, very afraid. He wasn't hearing from God anymore. The prophet of God, Samuel, was dead. Saul doesn't feel the closeness to God anymore. And so he said, I'm desperate. I feel like the end is near. I've got to find somebody that can call up the spirit of Samuel and get a word from the man of God. And so, you know, he went to the witch of Endor. Is that right? Endor, the witch of Endor. And he called up, she called up the spirit of, don't ask me to go into all details about this, but anyway, Samuel looked at him, or Samuel said in his word, he said, listen, your days are over. Your days are over. It's over. You blew it when you was at Amalek. Amalek, you didn't obey me. You didn't fully obey me, and your days are over. And you know what? It was just a short time later that he fell on his sword and took his own life. Now listen. Here's what I want you to see this morning: how close David was to becoming king, yet he was so far away up here. He was within 24 hours. He was just so close to becoming the king of Israel. But yet, in his mind, he was so far away that he would never, ever, ever be the king, and that Saul was going to kill him. I wonder how many times we're so close to the promise, and we give up at the last minute. Are you listening to me this morning? Are you learning anything today? Are we helping you today? This my goal is to help you. David was so close, yet so far away. And Samuel says to Saul, "This day the kingdom is torn from you." David so close, yet so far away. Only hours away. And I believe for us today, some of us are right at the door, at the brink of a miracle. You remember that song, Dwayne? We're on the brink of a miracle. We're on the edge of a miracle. We're about to score. Especially, look what's going on in our nation. We're about to score. Look what's going on around the world. Christianity is about to score. When you're playing basketball, the person that's got the most people on them is the one that's got the ball, and he's under the hoop. He's about to score, but nobody wants him to, so they all gang up on him. That's the same way we're about to score. The enemy doesn't want us to score. He'll do whatever he has to do to stop us. Amen. Have you ever just got to the place that you're just so sick on the inside? Oh God, I don't know what's going on. I'm so sick. I could vomit. I could throw up. I'm nervous. I'm shaking. I'm trembling. I just don't know what I'm going to do. You take Rolaids by the bottle. You take Tums by the bottle, and you feel like your body's a chemistry lab or something. You know, it fizzes. It jumps. It rattles. It rolls, and you feel like, God, I don't know if I'll ever. God says, hang on. It's going to be okay. God's very, very special at turning things around in 24 hours. Amen. Amen? I remember reading, and I won't go on this pig trail, but I remember reading in the book of Kings where God promised within 24 hours, you will have more than enough to eat, you'll have enough silver and gold, you'll have plenty, plenty, plenty. Amen? Amen. One man did not believe that. And guess what? He got trampled while everybody else was enjoying the victuals. Amen? So, we need to believe what God says. Amen. We carry this treasure in an earthen vessel. Listen, every one of us are human. We are all human. We all probably fight similar battles. Can I tell you that Darlene and I have had our share of battles? I've got that in my notes somewhere. Let me see if I can find it. We've had our share of battles and trials and tests. We've had personal trials, financial trials, relational trials. We've had battles that many of you will never know. Some people will never know some of the battles that we faced with our going through ministry, trying to build a church. We face battles all the time. But I want to tell you something. We get through them. I said we get through them. Amen. We face battles, but we get through them. And so, there's been so many times that we wondered, God, where's the next dollar come from? But God supplies every need. Amen. I've heard stories of people that prayed for nothing to eat. They had nothing to eat, and they'd hear a knock on the front door and say, "We got something here for you." God's still doing miracles, folks. God still wants us to live in victory. Amen. It's a promise from the Word of God. Amen. We can't see what God's about to do, but I can believe what God's about to do. I want the worship team to come back up here, if you would, please. You see, what David shows us and what God shows us through David's words is that King David, the greatest king that ever lived and reigned in Israel, was human. He was just as human as the rest of us. He was human. God reveals his humanity, that even though he had a promise, and even though he had the oil poured in his head, and even though he had to wait a few years, he still was human. How many knows we're all frail? I think God sometimes let things happen to people so that others can see, you know, they're human too. Oh, I'm sure, Pastor Rhodes, you and Darlene have never gone through anything. Oh, we could write a book. We could write a book. Maybe God reveals our humanity, Brother Mark, so that we will rely on him, have to rely on him. Maybe God lets us know. Remind me. Was it Kris Kristofferson that sang the song, "I'm Only Human"? Was that him? Huh? No, was it Mac Davis? I don't know. I'm only human, I'm just a... Oh, well. Nobody here knows those old songs. That was that it? One Day at a Time. That wasn't Kris Kristofferson. That was somebody else. Psalms 34. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Psalms 56. Here you go. Whenever I'm afraid, I will trust you. We read earlier, I will call upon the Lord who's worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Let's stand up if you would. Let's keep our movement down for just a moment as we get ready to go into the altar service. I've come here this morning to tell you that if the trial you're facing today is a fiery trial, if it's a little trial, if it's a big trial, you've been under a satanic attack, you know it's a satanic attack. You recognize it's not natural. But Jesus still says, we're going to the other side. We're going to the other side. Lamentations 3:22 and 23. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Let that sink in this morning. If you don't get anything else, let this 22 and 23 sink in. We are not consumed because of the mercies of God. His compassions, his love never, never fails, as spoken by Paul in 1 Corinthians 13. They are new every morning. I know some of you are strong people of faith. You've got the word coming out your mouth. Your actions back up your words, and you've got the word in your heart, and you're a really strong faith person. But I want to tell you something, we're also human beings. We're also going to face from time to time. Did you know that the Bible talks about even people in your church can wound you? People of faith can hurt you and wound you. Do we give in or suck it up? Listen to this scripture, Zechariah 13:6. If someone asks, what are these wounds on your body? They will answer, the wounds I was given at the house of my friends. In other words, the Catholic Bible says, I was wounded in the house of them that loved me. Are you hearing me today? See, that person sitting next to you, they are capable of hurting you. They are capable of saying something ugly about you. But I'm not going to allow what somebody else says to affect what God says about me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I can approach the throne of God boldly, according to the book of, I believe it's Hebrews. Here's another one. Psalms 41:9, the Amplified Bible. This is a different verse totally. Even my own close friend, in whom I trusted, even ate my bread. We went to breakfast, lunch, dinner together. They came to my house and we went to their house. It says here, even my own close friend, whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has betrayed me. Contemporary English version says, my most trusted friend has turned against me. Though he ate at my table, he has insulted me. We've all been there, haven't we? We've all been there. So, was David about to be killed? The answer is no. Was David going to perish at the hand of Saul? Absolutely not. And I tell you today that your battle, the things that you're facing this morning, the things that you faced this past week, the betrayals, the hurts, the bad words, they're just lies from the pit of hell. And you know what? We got to stop listening and stop believing, or we're going to wreck our future. We'll ruin our ministry. We'll affect the plans and purposes that God has for us. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed.